Hey, everybody. A super episode. Vince Everett Ellison. Oh, get ready, everybody. I fully acknowledge what we are embarking on this episode. We're questioning MLK. Just hear me out. Trust me. If I have earned your trust over the years, just listen to this episode with an open mind. Check any sort of bias you might have or, oh, I think I know. That's fine. I totally get it. I was there once too. Just listen. Take notes. And send me questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. But do me a favor, listen to the entire episode before you send in anything critical. That's all I'd like. And we also have a great kind of post-conversation with Blake Neff afterwards, who is super smart, high IQ, and great researcher. And we even talk about the positives of MLK, because he did, of course he did some great stuff. And we talk about that. But I think it's super important conversation. We really land that plane later on the episode. Listen to this. Text it to your friends. This is a forbidden topic. This is the third rail of the third rail, everybody. No other podcast would do this conversation. And so please check it out. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. And know my heart. Look, we have Blexit.com, the largest minority black outreach program in the country. I want all people to succeed. Anyone who says, oh, you're racist, all this is just such sloppy, shallow nonsense. I have no patience for that. And you should check out Blexit.com as well. We're going to appear in the show, Pierre Wilson, who runs Blexit, on the program later this week. And also, if you are moved by what we do on this program, boy, I really like the tone and the approach you guys have, go to CharlieKirk.com and click on the members tab, the CharlieKirk.com. Click on the all-new members-only content, CharlieKirk.com, and become an insider, CharlieKirk.com, and become an insider. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. This is an episode that I don't think any other major podcast would tackle. But you guys make it possible when you go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. And enjoy. I hope you learned something. This is years of research that has led me to do this conversation. Vince Everett Ellison helps us through it. And then Blake and I recap it. So enjoy what other people are afraid to say, the questions that they're afraid to ask. And hopefully we come to some answers. And I'd love your feedback, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Today, government buildings and schools and banks are closed all across the country. They are closed because today is a national holiday. It's only one of two holidays in America that honors one specific American by name. Think about that. Only one of two holidays. The other one is, of course, George Washington, but we now just call it President's Day. It's his birthday. Now, today, of course, we're talking about is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We told people last week that we planned to talk about MLK Day today. In fact, truthfully, I was planning maybe a five-minute segment. Like, okay, it's Iowa caucus day, little thing here, move on. However, the media got wind of it because they watch everything we say on this program, every syllable, and they made a huge deal about it, went totally viral. And they flipped out, and they basically wrote a Greta Thunberg story. How dare you? How dare you? Wait a second, you don't even know what we're going to say. And based on the sheer volume of that response, it's been syndicated across the internet. Now, MLK has become a lot more than a man. MLK has become a myth. MLK is a quasi-religious figure. MLK is the demigod of the 20th century. Did you know in a 2011 Gallup poll, MLK's approval rating was 96%? That same year, Jesus Christ only had a 90% approval rating. So in 2011, MLK was 6 points more popular than Jesus Christ. MLK is without a doubt the most respected, revered, honored, and even worshipped person of the 20th century. He is, by a million miles, the most untouchable figure of the 20th century. Teachers read kids' books about MLK's life to their students in kindergarten or first grade. It's some of the first education, history, and civics that kids get. And take a pause for a second. Think about all the giants that lived in the 20th century. Churchill, Eisenhower, MacArthur, Einstein, Rockefeller, Billy Graham. None of them are even remotely as honored as MLK. So what did MLK do to get this honor? Why does he have just one of four federal holidays honoring one specific person? Why does he have a massive monument on the Mall in our national capital? A county named after him in Seattle? A street in almost every single city? Why did a group of theologians in 1979 propose adding a letter from the Birmingham jail to the New Testament of the Bible? We don't get that kind of treatment for ordinary human accomplishments. You get that kind of treatment for being a symbol. For most Americans, and especially most conservative Americans, MLK is the symbol of seeking a colorblind society and doing it in a nonviolent way. That's understandably a very appealing idea. A nonviolent Christian who wants a colorblind America. That is something that should resonate with you. In fact, the myth of MLK is far more appealing than the reality of MLK. He is a Moses-type figure who delivered black Americans from segregation and Jim Crow and birthed the new America. But is that how we should think about this day? Well, joining us now is a terrific American, and we're going to get into it. So buckle up for the thought crimes. It's Vince Everett Ellinson, one of my favorite guests. Vince, welcome to the program. Vince, how should we think about Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, you know, Charlie, it pains me to say this. I grew up in the typical black American home where MLK was an icon. My father still has a picture of MLK in my family home in Brownsville, Tennessee. And as a matter of fact, I had an Aunt Jenny. She lived in an old shotgun house with no running water. And she had two pictures in that home. And one was of Jesus Christ. The other one was Martin Luther King Jr. So again, I have a history of being black in America, and it pains me to say the things I'm going to say. But if everything that I've read about Martin Luther King Jr., and again, all of it has come from Democrat Party sources, Democrats, no conservatives here. One book was by David Garrow called Bearing the Cross. Another one by Taylor Branch. He was Bill Clinton's roommate at Yale, called Parting the Waters. Another one by a guy by the name of Jonathan Eag. He's another very, very liberal Democrat. Ralph Abernathy, Martin Luther King Jr.'s successor and best friend, and Jackie Onassis. They all say the same thing about King. And what they're saying is that he was a despicable man, that he was immoral. And that started me on my journey. But it went further than that with me. On my journey, it took me 7-8 years to write my first book, The Iron Triangle. I was at the Lorraine Motel doing my research, and they had King's I Have a Dream speech looping. And this was during the time when Colin Kaepernick and all the young black men were angry inside the NFL, and they were kneeling, and everybody was mad, and George Floyd riots. And I was trying to figure out why they were so angry. I mean, these guys were young, they were attractive, they were supermen, you know, they were rich. And I had heard Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech 1,000 times. But the great writer Thomas Wolfe said, you'll see a thing 1,000 times before you see it once. And this was one of my Thomas Wolfe moments. I heard Martin Luther King Jr. say something in that speech that I understood was a poison pill that was causing so many problems in America. He said in that speech, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. That is a lie. I was born free. And according from John Locke in the Second Treaties of Government, my freedom is a gift from God. It's an unalienable right. It is irrevocable, non-transferable, and unsellable. Jesus Christ said in that it said that he who the Son has freed is free indeed. So Jesus Christ affirmed what John Locke was talking about. In the book of Galatians, it said, for freedom, Christ came to set you free and submit yourself not to slavery. But King was telling us we had to come to Washington, D.C. for our freedom. And 5 times in that speech, he said we were not free. And at the end of that speech, he had this old refrain. He said, on some certain day, we'll be free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. That speech turned the Declaration of Independence on its head because our declaration said that God gave us our freedom. And when King George said, no, I give you your freedom, we said, well, we'll see about that. Come and try to take it. And that whole concept of freedom led us to our declaration and to our freedom here in America. But King contradicted the declaration and he contradicted Jesus Christ. when he said that we were not born free. So he said in that speech, he said, when will we be satisfied? He said, we will never be satisfied, not until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That was a fancy way of saying never. And our Christian religion tells us that Jesus Christ says that my peace I leave with you. So Martin Luther King is saying we will never be satisfied until America does certain things, which means we're giving, taking our peace from Jesus Christ and giving it to Washington, D.C. again. He said he had a dream that one day his four little children would not be judged by the color of their skin, by the contrary of their character. Well, what's wrong with the color of my skin? I'm going to be walking around some racist, begging him not to judge me by the color of my skin? My Christian religion says I'm not to be concerned about how any man views me. I'm supposed to be concerned about how I view him and how Jesus Christ views me. I'm supposed to love him no matter what he says, no matter what he does. I love him. If he lies on me, I tell the truth on him. If he disrespects me, I respect him. But King said that we were to walk around and dream about a day that some racist white man would look at me and not be offended by the color of my skin. Never me. Never me. There's this story I heard about King where he said that at this hotel inside of Tallahassee, he was trying to segregate it. They called the police on it. And when the police asked him, what did he want? He said, I want my dignity. Well, see, I hate that story. Why? God gave me my dignity. Martin Luther King Jr. is going to let a $2 hotel clerk take his dignity from him. And he's telling black people that the only way you can have your dignity is if white America gives it to you. This is why we're at the bottom of every socioeconomic statistic here in America right now. In the book of Corinthians, they say there are 11 people when I enter the kingdom of God. One of them, the last one, is the extortionist. What is an extortionist? A person that uses coercion, threats, boycotts, sit-ins to get what they want. Our Christian religion says we're supposed to change the heart. We're not supposed to use the gun of government. I'm going to put a gun in your head and make you give me what I want. And that is the reason why right now, Time Magazine said that America is more segregated now than it was in 1960. Bobby Rush stood on the congressional floor and said our public schools are more segregated now than they were in 1960. What did he achieve? The black family destroyed. The black church is apostate. The black economy is destroyed. The black politician is no good. He turned the black church over to the Democrat Party. We got 5 times more men in prison. The only thing Martin Luther King Jr. did was teach black people to vote for a Marxist Democrat Party. And that's why he has that statue, and that's why they love him.
Keep riffing and dive into that. Black America is more segregated, poorer actually on average. By the fruit, you will judge them. What has been the fruit
right. The
more we have elevated MLK?
Exactly. Well, you know, when you look at the fruit, the Bible says the tree is known by the fruit it bears. That statement was made when Jesus told his disciples, I'll tell you how to identify a false prophet. He said, look at his fruit. Don't watch what he does. Don't watch what he says. You watch what he produces. And he said, you cannot get good fruit from a bad tree, or bad fruit from a good tree. The fruit is fruit, but you have to zone. And if the fruit is bad, the tree had to be bad. And the tree is MLK. And the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King Jr. was given the first Margaret Sanger Award in 1966. What's the Margaret? Who was Margaret Sanger? She started Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood killed 65 million children by 2022. 25 million of them white. Martin Luther King Jr. got the Margaret Sanger Award for helping herself abortion clinics in the black community. It was Martin Luther King Jr. that asked that demanded that LBJ put the man in house clause in welfare. Yeah, he demanded it. LBJ wanted to use the federal government to put the black man back in charge of his family. King said no. David Gettle writes about this in his book, Bearing the Cross. They said put the man in house clause in welfare so that if the man is in the house, the woman gets no money and he had to be run out before she gets a dime. In one generation, the black community went from 80% of their children being born in wedlock to 80% being born out of wedlock. Why? MLK's fingerprints were all over it. You know, and then when you start getting into the crazy stuff he did in his personal life, the orgies, the rapes, it all comes together that there was something extraordinarily wrong here. And he's been elevated for what? You know, the FBI said that he's a Marxist. John F. Kennedy told him he needed to get the communists out of his group. He told him he had Bayard Rustin, Stanley Levinson, Jack O'Dale. They were communists. In these books, they say that the communists were the ones on the back bankrolling the whole civil rights movement. Jack O'Dale was the executive director of the NCLC. Jack O'Dale was a full-fledged communist. Stanley Levinson was the one that put him there. Stanley Levinson was a communist. Bayard Rustin was a communist. And when John F. Kennedy told him to get them out, he told John F. Kennedy that he would. He lied to him, and that's when Hoover started putting the wiretaps on him. So all of this stuff comes together, and you look at where the black community is. In 1956, the Comintern gave their spies in the civil rights movement a job. They said, we want you to make the black community a replica of the Soviet bloc. They've been successful. The black community is a third world nation in the United States of America. We have dictator worship, apostate ministry. We have one-party rule, abject poverty, violence, and crime. We are just like the Soviet Union right before the Berlin Wall fell. They accomplished their mission. And then the white people from the civil rights movement jumped from the civil rights movement into the Democrat Party and made the Democratic Party a Marxist organization in 1972. They did everything they planned to do, and it came from the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement didn't have anyone except for the communists in the United States of America. Black people are worse off behind the civil rights movement, and until we come to that conclusion, until we take all of this stupidity and ignorance and throw it away and pull it up root and stern, will always be at the bottom of everything in America.
Hey, everybody. Exciting news. Very, very important. We are saving babies with preborn. You've heard me talk about this all throughout the year, and time is running out on this great dollar-for-dollar match. I have donated money here, and you should too. Through December 31st, you can save twice as many babies by providing ultrasounds. But this match goes away soon, so don't put it off another minute. You've heard about and thought about and talked about it and maybe even prayed about it, but right now is the time to do something about it. If you're wondering about your end-of-year giving and want every dollar to get the most results, this is a great chance to maximize your gift for life. And for a one-time $15,000 gift, you'll provide not just one ultrasound machine, but two, saving thousands of babies for years to come. $280 saves 10 babies, $28 a month saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day, and right now, any gift saves twice as many babies with preborn. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That's the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. $280 saves 10 babies. $280 saves a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. charliekirk.com, preborn banner. Vince, I want people to check out your book, and what you're saying is so important. Crime Inc. is one of them, how Democrats employ mafia and gangster tactics to gain and hold power. The Iron Triangle. Iron Triangle, how Democrats are using race to divide Americans in their quest for power and how we can stop them. So there's many directions we can go here, and I want to just emphasize one of them. We know for certain that MLK, being a minister, was a womanizer and had multiple 40-plus affairs. I want to make sure that is mentioned. Now, that's not necessarily a disqualification, but it should make pause before we turn that into a national holiday. But there's also another accusation around Martin Luther King. This guy won a Pulitzer Prize for running an MLK bio by David Garrow, as you say. So the accusation is essentially based on a FBI document, which could be fabricated. The FBI lies. So I will put that an asterisk on that because I don't believe everything the FBI says. But this is a Pulitzer Prize winner on the King biography, said, quote, a group met in a hotel room and discussed which women among the parishioners would be suitable for natural and unnatural sex acts. When one of the women protested that she did not approve of this, the Baptist minister immediately and forcibly raped her. The type summary states, parenthetically, saying that, quote, Martin Luther King looked on, laughed, and offered advice while the woman was raped. Vince, your reaction.
Well, I believe it because in Ralph Abernathy's book, And the Walls Came Tumbling Down, he talked about the night before King died after he gave the mountaintop speech. And he said that he went over, they said that they went to Reverend Benjamin Hook's house for dinner. That was a cover story, but that wasn't true. He said they actually went to this one woman's house and King slept with her. Then they went to the Lorraine Motel and he met with the first female black senator from Georgia. Her name was last name was Powers. They said the King slept with her. While there, they say his second wife, her name was Dorothy Cotton, she worked for the ACLC, found out what happened, and she confronted King, and Ralph Abernathy said they got to fighting in the hotel room, and King beat her up. Now, this is what Ralph Abernathy said. This is not the FBI. So this looks like this was part of King's behavior. He slept with two women that night. Then he beat up a third woman the night before he got shot. So, and about these FBI files, I'm going to tell you, Charlie, why I believe them. You and I know that they have the suicide letter in these FBI files, where the FBI sent King a note with sex tapes in it, telling them that they were going to release all this stuff if he didn't commit suicide. If these guys were going to lie about something, they would have lied about that. They would have took that suicide letter out, or they would have redacted it or something. If you're going to put a letter in the file that says you told a guy to kill himself, you're going to put everything in the file. So if you read the books of the people that know King best, you'll see that this type of behavior that the FBI is talking about was something that they all knew he did, and that they all validated. So yes, I believe it. And again, a tree is known by the fruit it bears. A fish rots from the head down. Look at the condition of the Black community, and you'll see that it was led by a bunch of liars, perverts, psychopaths, and anti-Christian bigots. And one last thing, King was excommunicated from the Black church in 1961. So people think that King was a Southern Black preacher. He was excommunicated from the National Baptist Convention in 1961 because he tried to take over the National Baptist Convention for the Civil Rights Movement. They had a bishop by the name of Bishop Jackson that didn't want this to happen. So at the convention in Kansas City in 1961, King and his boys decided to try to force a floor vote on the floor. They got into a fist fight and they killed a preacher on the floor at the convention in 1961. They had to call in the riot police, and the mayor of Kansas City came in and shut the thing down. King lost the floor vote. And when he lost the floor vote, they excommunicated King from the National Baptist Church. So what did King do? He got about 10% of his libertine, perverted preachers, and they started their own religion. And it's called the Progressive National Baptist Convention. Look it up. That is a sect that Raphael Warnock belongs to. They believe in abortion, LGBTQ, all kind of crazy stuff. They are an apostate organization. It's called the Progressive National Baptist Convention. People still thought that King was part of the National Baptist Convention because the National Baptist Convention was in the name. No, he was excommunicated from the Black church. And most people don't know it. So Martin Luther King Jr. was excommunicated from the Black church, got the Margaret Sanger Award for setting up abortion clinics in the Black community, and put the man out clause in welfare that basically destroyed the Black family. Nevertheless, he is being celebrated. And if you go to his monument right now in Washington, D.C., and look for anything on that monument, all the nice quotes and everything, there's nothing on that monument that mentions God anywhere. Hmm. It doesn't even mention that King was a reverend.
Wow.
You know what? Not a mistake. That was a confession. They knew exactly who they were. They were using God for power.
So, Vince, one part I want to explore with you is that when MLK was alive, his approval rating was rather low, right near 30%. So his contemporaries did not think very highly of him. In fact, even in the decades that followed, it was a big lift to get it to become a federal holiday. Now he has an approval rating near 96 to 98%. How is that possible, Vince? It's one of the most popular people. He's as real as Aslan from Chronicles of Narnia or Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Only something fake and fictitious could get a 96% approval rating. And it turns out that what we think of as MLK is largely a fable, is a legend, is a myth. Vince, your thoughts?
Well, the people of America are very good people. And when King got shot and he got murdered at the time, at, you know, 39 years old, he had the wife and the beautiful wife and the four small children, your heart goes out to him. And then they took the COINTELPRO tapes, which of course, I don't know, a lot of people know this. The FBI did not release this information on King. They had it sealed. And a bunch of young hippies broke into the FBI office and stole the COINTELPRO tapes, and then turned them over to the Washington Post. And the Washington Post printed some of them. And so a federal judge has taken these files and he sealed them until for 50 years until 2027. So in 2027, we'll know a lot more. But in that time, it gave the Marxists and the communists in the press a lot of time to do a lot of PR for their fallen saint. And they took advantage of it. You already know this, Charlie, that the press is filled of Marxists and communists and socialists. And King was their guy. Look, LBJ had just passed the Great Society. I mean, he had Medicaid, welfare, you name it. And that wasn't enough for Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. was getting ready to do the Poor People's March. And he wanted $30 billion back then for free housing, free food, free medical care, free everything. He was going to take 1 million people to Washington, D.C. and shut it down. LBJ didn't give enough. King wanted more. And he took the Black community and he turned them from a group of people that depended on God to a people that depended on government. I'm the type of guy that says, when they say that Black people are victims and they're oppressed, I say, I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. You cannot oppress me. I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I cannot be a victim. When they talk about white supremacy, I said, I'm an heir of Jesus Christ and a child of God. Show me the white man superior to me, and we'll put that to the test. See, I don't walk around asking a man for my freedom, as King was doing. I defy him to come try to take my freedom from me. God gave it to me. It is mine. And if you come and try to take my freedom from me, I have the right to defend myself. So if you don't like me because of the color of my skin, that's your problem. If you put your hands on me, you're going to have another one. And if anybody ever comes and tries to take something from me, or hurt my family, I got two things that'll get you off me. And that's Jesus and my 38. I hope you don't try it.
Vince, you bring up a very powerful point here that I want to emphasize, which is we've largely thought of MLK as a hologram. And I want to be very morally clear to the audience. It's actually a hologram that it makes sense. Again, you have a guy that allegedly was arguing for a colorblind, merit-based society. That's the country I want to live in. The quote that he's best known for, content of character, color of the skin, was actually not a good summary of his worldview or his actions or his he didn't even write that speech. And
no, written by communists.
Yeah, no, that's what's critical. And I will also have to say, I dream of a day where people are judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Well, MLK, we're now judging you by the content of your character. We're using your own rule, and we're not seeing great character, right, Vince?
Well, see here it is, Charlie. This is an aspirational view that we all believe in. But Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to use government to make it happen. And the government is not designed for that. This is for the pulpit. This is for the schools. This is for the family. This is for us as individuals. He wanted to use the government to come and put a gun to people's heads and tell them, you're going to do this and you're going to accept people. You're going to do that, or we're going to put you in jail, or we're going to fine you, or we're going to shut you down, or we're going to close you down. And you see, it did not work.
Hey, everyone. Charlie Kirk here. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this program, which is why I'm so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use offer code Charlie. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie and free activation using offer code Charlie. I'm going to read a quote here from MLK. Now, understandably, towards the end of his life, before he was assassinated, he became more and more of a cheerleader for redistributionism, of property confiscation. I'm going to read this quote. Yes. White Americans must recognize that justice for Black people cannot be achieved without radical changes in the structure of our society. Time out. This is after the Civil Rights Act. This is after the Voting Rights Act. This is after the Great Society. Vince, MLK was not satisfied. He was a revolutionary that was pushing for, quote, radical changes in the structure of our society. What did he mean by that? That was in 1967.
It was Marxism, just completely. He had taken the black church and he used it as a political vehicle. He wasn't talking about changing it through Christianity. Jesus Christ told us to change people by changing their heart. He never talked about using the Roman army to change the minds of the Jewish people or anybody. He said, you have to let your light shine so men might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. King said no. He was like Vito Corleone in The Godfather. You know, when it first came on and Michael told Kay the story of how Vito took this big bodyguard by the name of Luca Brasi down and put the gun to the head of the band leader and told him either his brains or his name was going to be on the contract to let his godson go. Well, Martin Luther King says, I want to eat a hamburger down south. Man says no. He says, I'm going to go get the federal government. I'm going to put a gun in your head. If Vito Corleone was violent, how was King not violent? Charlie, I'm telling you, I want you beat up. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to hire somebody to beat you up. Am I a violent man? Of course I am. So King says, I want this and I want that. White folks down south say, I won't give it to you. I'm going to get the federal government to put a gun in your head and put you in jail if you don't give it to me. How is that not using violence? It was a game. It was a game of power. He used the black church for power. You never heard him talking about baptism. You never heard him talking about healing the sick. You never heard him talking about forgiveness, forbearance. We're supposed to talk about loving one another, forgiving one another, forbearance to one another. These jokers are about reparations. We want more money for health care. We want you to give us that. If not, we're going to shut you down. We're going to change the law. We're going to riot. We're going to burn stuff up. No. My job is to tell you I love you. I'll help you. I'll do anything you need me to do. If you need a good doctor, I'll find you one. You need a good preacher, I'll help you get one. You need a job, I'll help you find one. But don't you take my love and my kindness for weakness. See, the reason why so many young black men went to the Nation of Islam back in the 70s and the 60s was because Martin Luther King Jr. them told them that Christianity was about laying down and getting the hell beat out of you, allowing white folks to beat you and stomp you and rape your children and rape your wives. He ran so many young black folks out of Christianity because they said, I am not going to do that. Because it was a bastardized Southern slave master plantation version of Christianity that was not true. You are supposed to protect what you love. You're supposed to tend to what you love. The first concept of love is do no self-harm and don't let nobody harm anything that you love. But instead, we were letting them beat us, kill us, rape us. And a lot of young black folks love Christianity because of it, and that is a lie.
So Vince, talk about the damage, because we have to be honest, black America is not doing well today. Talk about the damage of the welfare state and how MLK's narrative and political activism led to the modern welfare state.
Yeah, David Garrow, again, he wrote about this in his book. Patrick Moynihan wrote this great study called The Moynihan Report. It was legendary. Patrick Moynihan proved that welfare was destroying the black family. He saw that black men were working, but the family was being more destroyed and more people getting on welfare. And he said what's happening is these young girls that are getting pregnant aren't getting married anymore. So he told LBJ, we got to cut this out or the black family is going to be destroyed. So he said, what we need to do is take the federal government and put the black man back in charge of his family. LBJ was all for it. But LBJ, being the politician, said, you got to go and sell this to the civil rights community. So McGeorge Bundy was over the Ford Foundation at that time. He told Moynihan that we are sponsoring a retreat for the civil rights community. Come with me down there and present your findings to them. McGeorge Bundy, Moynihan went down there, met with Martin Luther King Jr., and the members of the civil rights community. According to David Garrow, McGeorge Bundy said, it's a wonder Moynihan got out of that room alive. They called him everything but a child of God, cussed him out, called him a racist. Moynihan goes back to LBJ and said, man, these people are crazy. We can't have nothing to do with them. LBJ said, we got to do what they said do. They came back and met with LBJ, and the feminist in the movement said, instead of taking the federal government to put the man back in charge of his family, we need to use it to get the man out because marriage is just like slavery. And instead of putting and fixing the welfare state where women could get welfare if they got married, they changed it to where if they caught a man in the house, she could get no help. And in one generation, the Black community went from having 80% of their children in wedlock to 80% being born out of wedlock. And they put the man in-house clause in welfare, and it destroyed the Black family. And Martin Luther King Jr.'s fingerprints were all on it. And Ralph Abernathy wrote, in The Walls Came Tumbling Down, he said that in the late 70s, he went to the Black people in the civil rights in Congress and showed them how welfare was destroying the Black community, how it was keeping three generations of Black people in poverty. And Ralph Abernathy wrote this in his book. He said, and something curious happened. It pleased them to have two and three generations of Black people locked in poverty because that's how they could control them. Ralph said that they were pushing segregation because this is how they could keep all Black people in the inner city and could keep their positions of power in government. And that's when Ralph Abernathy said that he supported Ronald Reagan for president in 1980. So it's always been part of their job to keep Black people poor, ignorant, under their control, and voting for the Democrat Party. In my first book, The Iron Triangle, I said that the Black preacher, the Black politician, and the Black civil rights worker are conduits between rich white liberals and the Democrat Party, and their job is to do one thing, make sure that the Black community votes for the Democratic Party by hook or by crook. And they've been doing it well for the last 40, 50 years. But there's a change coming now, Charlie. You've seen the polls. About 61% of Black people now support Joe Biden, and there's a panic in the Democrat Party. And that 61%, it dropped from 90% in 2020 to about 61% now. And that's happening because of people like you, Candace Owens, me, Officer Brandon Tatum, us going out there every day and grinding and grinding and grinding. It ain't the GOP.
Well,
you know
that. So Vince, I have to just say, so when I said that we were going to do this MLK segment, I'd say the number one piece of critical feedback I received, and that's fine, is, Charlie, you're going to turn off Black voters if you dare tell the truth about MLK. How should I respond to that, Vince?
Black people will love you for it because the truth is the truth. Who can hide from it? You're telling the truth. They're going to research everything we said today, Charlie. They're going to say, I will be damned. It's correct. It's right. Check it out. It's the truth. Black people aren't any better. What are you celebrating?
Well, I'm sorry. I just think it's so incredibly bigoted and racist that you, like, when someone says, oh, you know, you're going to upset the balance of Blacks coming our way if you dare tell the truth. No, what kind of silly, strange, bizarre, bigoted argument? In fact, I think it's the opposite, Vince. What I've learned over the last couple of years is pursuing the tough topics actually builds our movement. It strengthens our movement because the truth will set you free.
Charlie, they're afraid of the truth. They're liars. You know I've been saying since you know me that the Democratic Party is controlled by a cabal of perverts, liars, psychopaths, and anti-Christian bigots. They lie. How do you know a Democrat is lying? His lips are moving. That's how they keep us under control. They lie. They want to tell Black people that white conservative Christians are their enemy. No, the white liberal is your enemy. The white conservative Christian will do nothing to hurt or harm you. It is that white liberal, like Malcolm X says, that is the enemy of all mankind. They are atheists. They're Marxists. They're full of hate and envy. And they use people for power. And they get some type of weird charge out of seeing pain. They have to kill people. They have to harm people. The greatest trick the devil ever played on mankind was to convince us that he no longer exists. The devil exists, and he rests his head at the DNC. That's where he lays his head. That's where he puts all of his clothes. He lives there. And these are the evilest people ever walked the face of this earth. And they use MLK and all of those perverts with him. There's a chapter in my book, 25 Lies. One of the lies is that the civil rights leaders were moral people. They were not. James Bevel, the guy that was in control of all of the marching and all of the organizing, James Bevel went to jail for raping his daughters. You saw what Jesse Jackson did after a king got assassinated. He slipped away, got a T-shirt, put fake blood on it, went on every TV show the next day and said he held Martin Luther King Jr. while he died, saying, Dr. King, can you hear me? Dr. King, can you hear me? And that Dr. King told him to take over the civil rights movement. Yeah, that's what Jesse Jackson did. This is. And Ralph Abernathy wrote about it, and the walls came tumbling down. He wrote about what Jesse Jackson did and told how they felt about it. Yeah, when you start talking about Bayard Rustin, went to jail for having sex with two men in a parked car. He was a communist. You can go on down the line, and you'll find that all of these guys, something was wrong with them. They would have orgies with 20 men and 20 women in a hotel room. They get drunk. David Guerra wrote about this situation where Dr. King and Clara Ward, the black gospel singer, bought this white prostitute named Gail, took up to a hotel room. Dr. King called one of his pastor friends, hey man, I got this white girl, come on, let's have some fun. And Gail told the FBI about how they ran trains on her all night long, how they were drunk, and it was the worst orgy she'd ever been in. This man is supposed to be saving prostitutes. This man is supposed to be healing them and freeing their souls. This man's supposed to be baptizing every communist, every socialist, every atheist that came around Martin Luther King Jr. was supposed to have been changed. Instead, he was engaging in the foul behavior. And now look at the black community. At the bottom of every socioeconomic statistic in the world. Why? Because we followed a bunch of liars, hypocrites, and psychopaths. And you will not be blessed doing such a thing. A tree is known by the fruit it bears. Look at our fruit. If the fruit is rotten, the tree is rotten. And the tree is Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights community.
I do want to respond to one of the criticisms that somebody has sent. They say, oh, Charlie, you are tearing down statues no differently than the left. Well, first of all, I haven't called for tearing down any statues. But wait a second. If you get a statue like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, you probably got it for a good reason. You founded a country. And if you're saying that Martin Luther King is a new founder of New America, then make that argument. The question is, should it be a federal holiday? Should it be one of the largest statues, monuments in Washington, D.C.? These are legit questions. And is it the myth, the legend, the fable, or is it the reality? And what purpose does it serve? Has it made America a better country? We want all people to have a better quality of life. And Marxism is not the pathway, and race Marxism certainly is not the pathway. So, Vince, I typically wouldn't put my guests on the spot to respond to this, but it's so overwhelming where the shallow criticism people are launching towards me is, Charlie is racist, Charlie is racist, Charlie is racist, because we're talking about this. Vince, how would you respond to that?
These are people that like to see black people in their place. See, they like to see us begging white people. They like to see us on our knees. They like to see us crying. A educated free man cannot be a slave. A man that believes that his power comes from God, comes from Jesus Christ, comes from his own self that's independent and free, cannot be a slave. And unless you pull all of that out of him, he will not vote for the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was a part of slavery from 1800 to 1860. It was a part of Jim Crow from 1860 to 18. It was a part of the Confederacy from 1860 to 1865. It was a part of Jim Crow from 1865 to 1970. They've always gained their power by beating down black people. And now they're the part of socialism, the party of Marxism, party of abortion, part of transgenderism. They have to make you a victim in order to succeed. And the way they make us victims is to tell us that we have to depend on them and beg them for everything. And that's the civil rights movement, and that's Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King Jr. marched, begged, and was beaten, asking government to feed, clothe, and protect him. A man like me that says, I don't need you to feed me, to clothe me, or protect me is a problem for them. They need to make me like they made George Floyd, who is a prototypical black man. He and Martin Luther King Jr. are the prototypical black man. I can't do for myself. I got to go to government. I'm scared. Please protect me. The police are chasing me. What's my remedy to this? Take my gun and hand it over to the police who's chasing me. Why don't you just be expeditious and blow your own damn brains out? Crying, afraid. They stink in my nostrils. A real man is not afraid of anything. 365 times in the Bible, God ordered us to fear not. And therefore, to walk around here saying, I'm afraid in my country, he says that I got you. You ain't got to beg for nothing. I am your father. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to me. And we're begging for the scraps that fall off their table? Never me. So when a man stands up and when a man says, I take care of myself, I don't need your help, it scares the hell out of them. And they don't want black people to hear this. They want black people to say, that black man crazy. You can't do for yourself. You have to ask us. You have to beg us. Get back on the plantation, boy. Well, when they start thinking like me, they're off of it. And they stay off it for good. And that's why the Democratic Party is going to start losing, because black people are getting off their plantation and they're going to be free.
It's the call to action 2024. It's time to get black America to keep getting this message out. Leave the Democrat Party. Embrace the principles that you actually at a fundamental level believe. Make the pitch for 2024. Trump, Biden, make the pitch.
Man, Joe Biden is the worst president since James Buchanan. He has allowed drag queens to go into the schools and shake their behinds in your children's faces. He wants your children to transition without the parents' permission. He wants to put pornography in the schools. He wants to murder children up to the ninth month. He wants to cut off little breasts, the breasts of little girls, and call them little boys. Castrate little boys and call them little girls. He started two wars. He acted like a coward in Afghanistan. He has expanded our budget by 50% from $4 trillion to $6 trillion. He's put us in more debt. You can't buy a house. The money that you make doesn't go nearly as far as it used to go. Every American now is spending $1,000 more a month than they were spending when Trump was president. Biden has to go. If you vote for Joe Biden and vote for the Democratic Party, you might as well call yourself insane. Because what is insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Things were better under Trump before. They'll be better under Trump. Now the world will get back in line. America will get back in line, and we'll be a freer, better nation again. Vote, but vote Trump this time.
Love it. Vince, God bless you, man. Thank you for your courage. We'll have you back on soon. People are emailing us like crazy. They're buying your books. Vince, you were terrific. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Charlie, thank you for your bravery. Thank you for having me on. As long as you and I get out there, we're going to keep this thing going, brother.
God bless you. Thank you. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is HerzogFoundation.com. So Blake, let's just kind of fill in the backstory here and then react to Vince's conversation with us. This started as a one-off comment, which exploded into something way bigger than we ever intended.
It was literally just, you said, you know, MLK Day is coming up, and you know we were going to do a show that day. So he's just like, you know, there's a lot of stuff people don't know about MLK. I'll have Blake go look something up. And then someone at Wired, I guess, saw it.
And they usually like, cover like Bitcoin
Blake,
and stuff.
Blake, that's the bad guy you have on your staff. And then they send us that irate email. And it's like, well, we can't back down now. Now we got to go.
Yeah,
oh, and really got to blow it up.
And I'm the way I'm wired is that the more opposition I get from, I kind of then want to lean in. And it was so, how dare you, or we're going to punish you, or we're going to hurt you. It was very almost quasi-threatening in the way that they were communicating.
Yeah, and it gets it exactly what you said. He is the most sacred figure of the 20th
yes.
century.
So I want to be fair, because we're fair people, that what are the good things in MLK's life? What are things that we could isolate that are good, that are, just to be honest, arbiters of history?
I think there's several. I think, obviously, Jim Crow, as it existed in the South still in the 50s and early 60s, in terms of restrictions on voting, segregated buses, segregated public spaces, that was all bad, that was all evil, and it was good that MLK campaigned against it. It is good that he did it in a nonviolent way. There's more nuance to that as we
which
into
I do want to get
time.
Into.
We'll get
yes.
into that. There's more nuance to it, but MLK himself was a nonviolent person who always promoted nonviolence. He rejected, he enraged a lot of people on his own side who wanted to be more like violent revolutionaries, who really idolized, you know, these insane whack jobs in Russia or China, and they want blood in the streets. And he says, no, we're not going to do that. I think that was very positive. I think he, when his rhetoric was at his best, obviously we see that with the I Have a Dream speech. That's good.
He
delivered it. And he gives other speeches as well that are looking towards a colorblind world. He does in his Poor People's Campaign, which is his last big campaign before his assassination. A lot of what he says is, saying there is, we can't prioritize poor black people over poor white people. Poor white people are exploited as well. He rejects quite a few opportunities to be a big racial demagogue like we might see in a lot of societies, a lot of times, a lot of places. All of those are praiseworthy things. I don't think it would be bad to view Martin Luther King as a great figure of the 20th century, even, accounting for the fact that he has a lot of political views we find abhorrent. Within the context of that, a lot of countries have really bad racial disasters that boil over into, outright civil wars, major bloodshed, and he helps keep that from happening in America. At least, for a while. And, we have like an explosion of crime, but it's not the same thing as like a true uprising. And all of that's praiseworthy. But as you discussed, we don't have Martin Luther King is a great figure of the 20th century. We have Martin Luther King
is the figure
of the 20th century, possibly the greatest American of all time, possibly one of the greatest humans to ever live, possibly a saint, possibly divinely inspired, according to not a lot of people, but like 19 guys or so at a theology conference proposed that he should be in the Bible.
And this is the reason why we don't quite know. But the fact is this, is that when he died, he was unpopular and he has now become supernaturally popular.
96% approval. And, that's higher than Jesus.
More than Jesus Christ.
Jesus is 90%. Yeah. Got to get those poll numbers up, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to just reiterate how this all tied in with civil rights, with the implications of the Civil Rights Act, the kind of DEI bureaucracy as we know it today. But we also must acknowledge that he was a very smooth communicator. He had a gift for the spoken word, right?
For sure, for sure. And compare it to speeches in America today are so bad. Politicians give these canned speeches that are kind of, they're very designed almost to be lowest common denominator. Our debates are kind of wretched to watch, other than, maybe one or two funny scenes here or there. Kamala Harris comes out and talks to everyone like they're kindergartners. And if you go back and my favorite speech by MLK is actually the one he delivers after Rosa Parks gets arrested. So it's the opening of the Montgomery bus boycott. That's what makes him a national figure. And it's an amazing speech compared to anything you would hear from a public figure today. And it's stuff we would agree with. And I think even King agreed with it strongly at that time. He gets more left-wing over time. In that one, he's saying, if we're wrong that, the segregation is evil, that they can't be arresting us for wanting to have a seat on the bus. If we are wrong, the Supreme Court of the United States is wrong. If we are wrong, the Constitution of the United States is wrong. If we are wrong, God Almighty is wrong. If we are wrong, Jesus of Nazareth was just a utopian dreamer who did not come down from heaven. I might be missing a line or two there, but that's a good sentiment. And he even says, we should be thankful, even as we protest. We are in America. We have the right to protest. This is our constitutional liberty. And we couldn't do this if we were in the Soviet Union. We couldn't do this if we were in a communist country. And he says that in the speech. It's a great speech. And he delivers it amazingly. So he's an enormously talented communicator. Even if he has to steal some of the ideas that he says in this or that speech, he delivers it super well. And like I said before, nonviolent, all of that's very admirable.
No, but I want to get into that for a second.
For sure.
So there was, though, an indifference at times to some unacceptable mass rioting and murdering, right?
For sure, for sure. So the civil rights movement sort of gets more violent kind of quickly, actually, in the grand scheme of things. In 64, you have the Civil Rights Act of 64. In 65, you have the Voting Rights Act. But then the second half of the 60s is a lot of really bad rioting, much worse than we had in 2020. The Detroit riots in, I believe, summer of 67, 43 people die in that. That's more than died in any of the riots, in actual rioting stuff, as opposed to just murders because it was mayhem and such. But You know, dozens of people die there. Dozens of people die in Newark. You have thousands of buildings getting burned down all over the country. And his reaction to it, I've got it here, just a moment. His reaction to it is sort of, it's interesting. So first of all, spring of 67, a few months before, is when he delivers the line, "A riot is the language of the unheard," which we heard over and over again in 2020. And then when the Newark riots happen, it goes for like a week.
Them,
it goes
right?
for about a week. And his advisor, the communist guy who was with the Communist Party USA, he's telling King, "You've got to say something to condemn this." And King says he doesn't want to do it because he says, "I don't want to deliver a condemnation without also condemning the causes that lead to riots."
That sounds like BLM.
He can't just denounce rioting.
I want everyone to understand. Imagine what happened during 2020 with even more murdering. And imagine how, just remember how angry we got when CNN called it mostly peaceful.
Exactly.
And this is one of the reasons why MLK's numbers went down towards the end of his life.
Exactly. And so later that summer in 67, the Detroit riot, even worse, really bad. And then 3 weeks after this, he gives a speech at the Southern Christian Leadership Conference annual convention. And he quotes Victor Hugo, the author of Les Miserables, who says, "If the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but he who causes the darkness." So he sort of absolves these rioters of blame for, you know, destroying a huge amount of the city of Detroit.
And people dying.
And he says, quote, "Negroes have committed crimes, but they are derivative crimes. They are born of the greater crimes of the white society." So that's a pretty strong statement.
And
even if he says
after the Civil Rights Act.
This is after the Civil Rights Act, after the Voting Rights Act, after the War on Poverty.
And
from
after
LBJ.
The Great Society. And he's still saying that. Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10. And marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells. So if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. "After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners." Rebecca says, "I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since you used Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product." So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155. Or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. Blake, I want to riff on this with you. And I wrote this, and you did a good job of editing it, and we went back and forth throughout the weekend, which is the myth of MLK is actually really admirable. This idea that there was a 1960s preacher who was committed to nonviolence and resisted the calls of overly dividing America and wanted a merit-based society was always really appealing, and I think is appealing to a lot of people. In addition, Blake, in the 1980s, when Reagan signed in MLK as a national holiday, which was a very big controversy at the time because MLK was not well-liked in the 80s. He still had very low approval rating. Is that I think one of the reasons why conservatives were willing to take on the MLK thing is because it allowed this point to be made, which is like, hey, we used to be super racist. We passed these laws. It's now no longer a big deal. So let's move on.
I think you're right. I think a lot of conservatives maybe explicitly, some of them just maybe subconsciously. Yeah, they see this as the final settlement of the turbulence of the 60s and 70s.
We can move on now. We don't have to talk about it.
It's like the
end. Which I like. I actually, that totally resonates with me.
Like, we just say, this guy's awesome. He's a big American hero. Racism's done. And it turns out the other side says, no, no, we're still very interested in the racism.
That would have worked if the Democrats would have been like, you know what? You're right. Let's focus on merit and character. And instead, we're now more racialized.
And exactly. And it's sort of the myth, though, is so important to this because it's like what you said at the top of the hour, you know, kindergarten teachers read books about MLK to kids. It's possibly the first education they get in American history, in American civics, in social studies, as they call it now, is the MLK story. And it's this very simple morality fable. It's that America was a racist country where white people hated black people. And then MLK came along and essentially said, what if we don't do that? And he was so inspiring, and people, you know, his rhetoric was so good, his speaking was so good, his moral example was so powerful that he just inspired the entire country, and they followed him and rejected this. And it's not a bad fable, yet at the same time, there's kind of these little time bombs within it. One is just the idea that America was super ultra racist until this hero MLK comes along. That's part of the whole delegitimization of American history before this.
Bingo.
Which is false. America was making a lot of progress on race before MLK was a major figure. Brown versus Board is 2 years before the Montgomery bus boycott. It had majority support from the American public in polling. A lot of states had bans on segregation. Years before this. This was a movement that had been continuing for decades, and it's hugely demeaning to the country, and it's kind of defamatory towards a large chunk of America to just say this was an irredeemably racist place until MLK redeemed
it. That's such a smart point. I love how you simplified it as a fable. And again, it's not completely inaccurate, but the subtext is that what happened before is bad, and welcome to New America. And New America started with the Civil Rights Act. And if you
exactly. And it's that MLK is, you know, a sacred hero and, you know, basically an unallied good. And what's he most linked with? He's linked with Civil Rights Act of 64, Voting Rights Act of 65.
Great society.
And so these become, you know, if we imagine him as a religious figure, then these are the scriptures that go with him, along with his own speeches and writings. This is his great testament to us. You know, these bills are highlighted in every textbook you'll read. They are, as Chris Caldwell put it, they're like a new American constitution. Surprise. This is the new rule that you live by. And what this does is it puts these laws beyond question, especially when they have a name like Civil Rights Act of 1964. So it's a name that just invites treating it very sacredly. But these are laws that have ramifications. And as conservatives increasingly realize, the ramifications of these laws are very powerful and kind of very against a lot of things we believe in about, you know, the American system. And they're most directly against this colorblind world that conservatives think MLK brought.
This is the hardest argument to make. Not hard because it's not true, but there's so many moving parts and you have to have baseline knowledge for this. So we're going to do this in the next segment. Again, I would not have tracked this 4 or 5 years ago. I just would. I would have been like lost in the clouds. Like, I don't understand because I would have been, and I'm just being very honest, I would have been a prisoner of my own limiting beliefs. And it took years for me to get to the place where understand that the promise of color blindness is one of the reasons why people would say, yes, I support the Civil Rights Act. But in reality, the language and the application of the Civil Rights Act is the opposite. It's a color preference act, not a color blindness. And not to mention the whole trans wrinkle here. One of the reasons why it's so hard to kick men out of female locker rooms is because of the Civil Rights Act. Traditional media is crumbling. Why? Because they're hiding something, something big. People are realizing they're being lied to left and right, even by institutions they thought they could trust. But you've known the truth all along. You also know that the time to prepare for what's coming is right now. Get started by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll save $200 on an essential 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Over the years, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for emergencies, and yours should be next. Sealed inside ultra-durable packaging, their delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right when things go wrong with these three-month emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. With $200 in savings, you can get enough for each family member. They deserve your protection. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free day shipping. That is free same-day shipping. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. So, Blake, let me try to set this up the best I can. In the 1960s, there was a push led by MLK to try to change federal law when it came to discrimination. I don't like racial discrimination. You don't like racial discrimination. The question is, should you build this massive federal leviathan and bureaucracy to come in with force to then shut down private businesses and tell businesses what they can do? Barry Goldwater warned against what will happen if you create this massive bureaucracy. Now, going forward, immediately the effects were not totally felt, right? We had the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and then the Great Society. Now, we can say that despite the good intentions behind all three, and there might have been good intentions or bad intentions, definitely the Great Society has impoverished Black America and addicted them to government benefits. Just so everyone knows at home, when the Great Society was passed, 25% of Black babies were born out of wedlock. Now it's well over 75% post the passage of the Great Society Act. Secondly, the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, we all support people's right to vote. However, embedded in the Voting Rights Act with this idea of disparate income and disparate impact, I should say, we can't get voter ID in most states where we want it because of the Voting Rights Act. Is that a fact, right, Blake?
It's definitely a factor in several states.
And Mark Elias uses the Voting Rights Act as a way to erode election integrity.
It's even crazier than that. The Voting Rights Act in about 15 years ago, Eric Holder,
his
Justice Department, there was a town in North Carolina and they adopted nonpartisan elections. You don't have a party linked with your name. And the Justice Department tried to block this, saying, if you do this,
blacks won't know who
the Democrat is. And black people have the right to know who the Democrat is because Democrats are the party of black people.
And they did this using the Voting Rights Act.
Yes, it's the Voting Rights Act, because so the Voting Rights Act just lets you swoop in and essentially say you can't do
swoop is
like
the perfect term. And then I want you to riff on this, which is MLK established this, whether wittingly or unwittingly, we don't know, but he definitely had redistributive, you could call them Marxist, race Marxist tendencies, and was never satisfied. These beasts, these monster-type government institutions that has kind, they've kind of flown below the radar up until Obama, Floyd, Ferguson, where now we see it completely unleashed on the American people. So for let's go from some examples. Tesla is sued by the federal government. Why, Blake?
Yeah, so Tesla, there's a bunch of lawsuits against Tesla. You might remember a verdict a year or two ago where they got hit for like $500 million because they had a facility which I believe was a contractor in the first place. So this was not directly managed by Elon Musk or anything, where they had black employees and Hispanic employees, and the Hispanic employees had some sort of like running racial dispute with some of the black employees. There were racial slurs, allegedly. I think a slur was written in an elevator. And so they say, this is a hostile work environment under the Civil Rights Act, millions of dollars. And then after that verdict, now the Biden administration came out about 4 months ago and sued them, saying, you've created a hostile work environment because employees were subject to slurs and stereotyping. They encountered stereotyping, so it violated federal law. There's so many cases like this. In New York City, they're paying out $1.8 billion in settlements to hundreds, maybe thousands, of people who failed. New York used to have this test you had to pass to become a public school teacher. It was just a basic knowledge test, math, history, civics, sort of high school level knowledge. You had to pass this to become a teacher. And the suit was, well, the passage rate on this test is not racially balanced. Some races, Asians and white people, pass it at higher rates than Hispanics and black people. This is supposedly a sinister racist design of the test, I will be blunt with people. Most tests have outcomes like this. That's just how it is. But they said, well, this has an unequal outcome, so this is a racist test, so you couldn't use it. And now you're required to pay out settlement or damages to all the people who weren't hired as a result of this. So you have these people who failed this test 10 times because they're morons, and they're getting paid $2 million settlements
That's
because
correct.
They have to pretend that these people should have been teachers for 20 years, except they were wrongly denied by this racist test. This is a product of the Civil Rights Act. I want to step back a bit to say why this is the case. Civil Rights Act just says you can't discriminate on the basis of race, sex,
national origin,
a few other categories. And it just says you can't discriminate. And it's kind of vague about it. And what most people thought they were getting was
this is the key.
They thought, okay, we have this vestigial Jim Crow that's still going on in Alabama and Mississippi. They're being really, you know, they're not going along with this. We've got to just crack it apart. They thought this was a sharp blow to get rid of Jim Crow in the South. That is not what they got. What they got was very quickly, it creates these organizations people weren't thinking much about. The EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity
Commission.
Which
any employer will tell you is
terrifying.
Is a beast.
Because it's now got thousands of people and essentially an unlimited budget to just, it can kind of go and harass whoever they want. There's an academic, I think Gail Harrett is her name, who basically pointed out that the Civil Rights Act makes everything illegal because it says you can't do a thing that is racially discriminatory. Well, how has the government defined it? The EEOC says anything you do that has a racial or sex-based or whatever unequal outcome by group that is not necessary.
Outcome.
Has an outcome that is an unequal outcome is not allowed. It doesn't have to be intentional even. It just, if it has this outcome and it's not, you know, 100% necessary for this job, then it's illegal. Well, everything produces an unequal outcome. Literally everything. That is called life. People are different. Groups of people are different. So they can argue that anything is not necessary for a job. We have this news story over the weekend that the FAA says, you know, not being mentally ill is not a necessary component to be an air traffic controller. So they can argue anything is unnecessary. So it makes everything illegal. And it just becomes the government can be capricious about this. They can decide, well, Tesla, well, Elon Musk is doing this kind of shady stuff with free speech. That's kind of a bad look, Mr. Musk. Sucks if you got investigated. They do this. And the way you try to avoid it is you try to keep your head down, not attract attention. So what do we get? We get this massive HR bureaucracy. This is why, you know, we have political correctness in the workplace. It's not that the federal government comes out and says you can never say anything politically incorrect ever. What it is these companies think we don't want to become the target. Don't let anything bubble up. Don't become an easy, you know, something that sticks out to get hit by the mallet of the federal government. So they get, you get this private enforcement of everything. That is the reality that this act has created. And it's important to emphasize this happened, while it's become really oppressive lately, it happens right away. Disparate impact is defined by the EEOC before the Johnson administration is over. It's in place before MLK dies. In 1971, the Supreme Court makes it a part of constitutional law. They say in Griggs versus Duke Power, disparate impact is law of the land. And so that's what the Civil Rights Act actually is. It is this law that is in place that says the federal government can have a massive bureaucracy that can go wherever it wants to any school,
private spaces,
any school, any business. I mean, with some exceptions, like it has to be a certain size. So if you have two people in your company, you're okay. But
or your private home.
Basically, any company, any school,
any social club,
any local government. You know, the government can kind of come in and they have unlimited budget. They can sue you.
Yes.
You know, maybe you'll beat it, but it's expensive to fight a lawsuit by the federal government.
They don't reimburse your legal fees, maybe,
exactly.
Unless you get a real declarative
and
judgment.
And people can sue you. There's all this, you know, you
yes.
can be sued. You can be sued in private court and you get a ton of damages for civil rights verdicts. And so it's created this leviathan. And
that is the word.
When people think of political correctness, when people think of, man, the government just sort of is in everything. It controls everything. It is very heavily these acts. It's Voting Rights Act, which controls how you're allowed to vote. Like just recently, a court says Alabama has to create another black majority district in the state. Why?
Correct.
Voting Rights
Voting
Act.
Rights
you
Act.
Have to maximize the number of black majority districts in your state or it's racist and it's not allowed. Well, you know, there's a lot of other things you could try to maximize. You could just try to make your districts look really aesthetic. You could try to make them as compact as possible. But they say, no, you have to maximize majority-minority districts or minority-majority, whatever. You have to maximize these. And you get these weird mutant districts as a result. In Chicago, there's that famous district that looks like a pair of earmuffs because
yes,
it's
right.
Hispanic neighborhood.
I know it. It was
goes
like
along the road for a bit.
Six.
Next Hispanic
yes,
neighborhood
right. exactly.
to get a district. And you get these. And it's just all these things that the government does that are bizarre, that are so morally offensive to us, where they're saying you have to do these de facto quotas. You have to do you know, you're hiring people so clearly on the basis of race. You're giving these benefits based on skin color. All this stuff that's like vilifying, you know, white people in the workplace, the DEI stuff. All of this comes downstream of the world created by, you know, this new constitution, as Caldwell calls it, of these civil rights laws in the 60s.
I want to emphasize this. So the more you read the literature of the time and the more you see how our current regime honors MLK, the Civil Rights Act, and the Voting Rights Act, you start to realize, huh, we mention, worship, and platform the Civil Rights Act more than the American Constitution. And that's why I think Caldwell had a breakthrough. And you say, huh, MLK certainly gets more love than George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin does.
And think about how
often... And that's not insignificant.
Think about how often they delegitimize the Constitution by saying, you know, these are these old white men who are slaveholders and they have this or that moral offense. They didn't like Indians, all these bad things. No one ever does that with MLK, even though he has his own moral offenses.
Yes.
I don't think that defines him entirely, but
well, that's
we discussed
why
it in the last
hour.
That's
why we say he has become, and Vince agreed, a pseudo-religious figure, is that there's a sainthood around him. And by the way, you and I both know myths are okay for a society. We'll tolerate myths, but tell us it's a myth.
Yeah. And you know, another funny thing about it, it's not just the religious thing. It's almost like, you know, we call him, he's Martin Luther King. He's kind of like the king. It's, you know, in Thailand, you can't criticize the king of Thailand. Even if he's like going around with hookers, which the king of Thailand does, you just can't attack him. He's not allowed. It's treason there. It's kind of like treason in America to attack our king in America.
Christmas is here, everybody, and that means that you might have to be moving boxes or just it's tough, a lot of stress, and that means inflammation increases. And that means pain also might increase alongside of it. Relief Factor, though, is here to help. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against pain. It's 100% drug-free, and Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for pain. Relief Factor uses a unique and proven formula of natural ingredients like turmeric and many others to help you get out of pain, to reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains you're experiencing. So whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. Unlike pills that simply mask your pain for a short time, Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation, so you feel better all day, every day. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor Quick Start, and nearly 70% of people go on to order it again. Relief Factor isn't simply about feeling better, it's about living better, living the life you want, doing the activities you love. So see how Relief Factor can help you with their 3-week quick start, feel back, or your money back guarantee. So check it out right now, relieffactor.com, or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Slay that inflammation, go to relieffactor.com. We want a meritocracy. We want a society that strives towards excellence, not equity. And yet the present reality, not the ideal, the reality of the Civil Rights Act and how it's being used is making it harder for us to pursue excellence as a society.
Exactly. As we described, it's interpreted by the courts, by the bureaucracy, and how they enforce it is actually this thing that says you can't discriminate requires discrimination. You have to discriminate against men, against white people. You have to give special benefits to these groups to try to create this sort of weird, mutant, idealized, everyone has the same outcome society. This is how it takes effect. And this is just destroying so many American institutions. It's screwing up our schools.
Yes. Well, it's already screwed. Our schools are one of the worst. It's terrible. Never been worse.
Exactly. It's screwing up our, like the FAA again, that over the weekend, they're trying to hire people with mental illnesses and intellectual disabilities to these air traffic controller jobs. That's eventually going to kill people.
I have to cut you off. So most people would think that color blindness is in the Civil Rights Act, but it's not.
Well, so the literal text implies, it doesn't say colorblind, but it says
no,
don't
I know,
discriminate
but
on
that's,
race.
That's the moral promise that most people would think, but instead you get this anti-racist beast.
Exactly.
And I just want to make sure if you support it, that's okay. We're not criticizing you. We ask you to reconsider the reality of what it actually is, not this abstraction that you've been living under.
If you're at a school and you feel weird that you're getting this anti-white propaganda during your, you know, student orientation, if you're in a workplace and you're wondering, why am I getting these DEI lectures that are clearly just like Democrat Party talking points imposed on me at work, and if I say something about it, I could get fired. That doesn't seem American. It is the product of this. And it's not that you have to totally scuttle the law necessarily. Like, I think we could imagine some sort of reality that maybe a ban on this or that discrimination could work. But you have to be willing to touch these laws. And that's why the MLK myth plays into this. It's that these laws have become untouchable. They're, like we said, they're a second constitution. They're scripture.
They are the holy text of modernity.
They're the holy text of modern America. And, you know, you were saying, we have a lot of people who are really excited by what we're saying and agree with it. But there's a lot of people questioning this, saying some people just disagree with it. But some people just say,
I wouldn't say the
quantity,
though.
I'd say
that there's a couple dozen people in center-right intelligentsia. And when I press some of them, respectfully, they say, but it's just not popular. And that dog doesn't hunt. Blake, how many unpopular things did we go all in on? Ukraine war, COVID lockdowns, right? Unpopular does nothing for me.
Yeah, what is
I live
popular
in the, I
and
live
unpopular
in the,
changes over time.
And so, I live in the unpopular, so don't give me that.
But and the other thing is just the recognition of, okay, if you want to win an election, why do you want to win? You want to win to do things. And fundamentally, a huge barrier to, as conservatives, us getting the changes we want is that we have this second constitution.
This is the most important
that we
point.
Live under. Do you want to have a actual... Do you want to have what... The mythical MLK what promises us? Judge people by
which
the
I like mythical
content
MLK.
Of their character.
I wish mythical MLK was a real
if
thing.
If you want that, you have to be willing to kind of question the mythical MLK.
I want to, as we come to completion here, Blake mentioned the if you're just one takeaway from this big, big segment we've done, which is you have two constitutions, whether you like it or not. You have the American Constitution and the Civil Rights Constitution. And the Civil Rights Constitution is at odds with so many of the choral eternal promises of the American Constitution. And they're certainly so with the kind of Red Guard DEI enforcement wing. Now it's completely out of control. Completely out of control. And what so many people with good intentions thought they were getting, which is a colorblind, merit-based society, we now have a color-obsessed, merit de-emphasized society. 10 seconds, Blake.
If you aren't willing to accept the moral framework that the left has built for America today, they're going to be able to control everything that you think.
Bingo. Blake, excellent job. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.